We were doing a talk today with Dineo at Live Lanceria, and she was asking the kids, if we take away everything, your popularity, the grades that you get the at school, pardon that. So yeah, as I was saying that, she was asking the kids, if we would take away everything with that you experience at school, your grades, your friends, everything that makes you feel a sense of security, who would you be? And it was quite a challenging question, particularly for high schoolers. But I think this thing of having God be enough. And I think there's a huge insecurity that comes with, if I accept God as enough, does that mean that I can't have everything else? Right? And I think it's the question that it's sort of like the question at the other end of that rainbow, that we all don't actually want to deal with. Like, if God becomes enough, does that mean I can't have everything else I'd like to have? And that's not it. The thing is, in God and in Christ, there is abundance. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall also follow you. But right now, we're gonna greet our guest in studio. How are you doing, Dineo?
Hello, Gibbs. I'm good, thanks. And you?
I'm fantastic. I'm doing great. How was your day today? It feels like your entire day was the mission that we were on today, right?
Typical,
I can absolutely relate.
Just typical God taking you out of comfort zones.
Yes, yes,
because
yes.
His will is greater.
Yeah, I completely understand what you mean, hey. So I know I had fun today. I had fun with the kids. I mean, we were told that the response they gave us today is not what the response they usually have. They're apparently usually louder than that. Or not louder, but they engage more. So I'm looking forward to the many sessions that we'll be able to have with them in future. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. But getting into the conversation that we were having with them today, you were focusing a lot on relating your story and where you come from to where they are, because they are, to give you context if you're listening, we're coming from Live Lanceria, right, where we were on the mission basically to have a counseling class with these young kids, where we're actually on a mission to normalize and to educate them, normalize being healthy, normalize having a vision and dreaming bigger than where you are, and also just getting to a point of equipping these kids with knowing that there is help when you're struggling with this or that, and that you're not the only one who was born in that situation. So the home is in a very impoverished area. It's based in an impoverished area, and we were specifically at the Ituteng after school program, where they basically receive kids after school and they help them with their homework, with their academic work, with their schoolwork, so that they can be able to overcome those challenges. Now, Dineo was relating a lot and speaking on the fact that I come from where you are, and we think it was a very good place to start at. So tell us a bit about some of that, you know, how you're making an attempt of, first of all, where do you come from? What is your testimony as Udineo Padimanyane?
Well, I come from a village in the Northern Cape.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lived in poverty and difficult circumstances, in want and in need, and life pushed me or squeezed me into a space where I had nothing but God. And it's a good place to be in, because there's a lot that God can do in that space.
Yeah,
but it's a make or break
kind of space
as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And there was a time where being surrounded by the poverty, living in it as well. I got to a point where, sorry, my mind is going. Today was a very full day.
It was a very full day.
I am a healing Christian, so I'm a healing Christian.
Yes,
so going out on mission for Christ has always been a desire of mine, especially after everything that I've been through.
Yeah.
And so today brought back a lot of memories of pain.
I understand.
So,
Was it important for you for the kids to understand that they're not just speaking to someone who comes from privilege?
Yes.
Because I remember the first question you asked them, which I understood exactly what point you were trying to make, was that when you look at me, what kind of a person do you assume I am? How important was it for you to understand that, guys, me, I'm coming from where you're coming from?
You know, it was important because the first thing I tried to think of is how I viewed motivational speakers.
Yeah.
Back in high school.
Mm.
You are sitting there in your mind and struggling and thinking, possibly thinking that life could not be any better.
Mm.
And here comes someone that looks like they've made it. And that's always the case kind of thing.
Yeah.
The person who's speaking is a person that has made it. And so as a child, looking at an adult telling you that they made it, you're just thinking, yo, that's far. That is far.
Yeah.
That is far.
Mm.
And the most that you hear is, I didn't have this at home. I didn't have this. And I worked hard. And now I've got the money. I've got the car. I've got the house. I've got the this.
Mm.
And I don't want to take away from how great that can be.
Yes.
But it's, what are you educating and leaving the child with that's going to inspire them to take the steps to get to a better life?
From point A to point B.
And to understand that even if their future life is not a ton of cars and a bunch of money, but it can be a good life and they can choose what that means for themselves.
Mm.
Because we don't all need to have or want the many cars and the, you know, that cannot be the only picture of what it looks like for God to provide.
For success in Christ.
Mm. It cannot. I absolutely refuse.
Mm.
So it's important for me in my current state and circumstances to be able to be a person who can still relate and say you have within you, by the grace of God, everything that you need to get to a point where you can have a better life. But you get to define what that means.
I understand. Yeah. And I think I love the fact that you were focusing a lot on the decision making part, because you were telling them that there is the thing of choice, and then there is the thing of you. Whenever you have to choose between staying at home and focusing on your grades, which, I mean, you also touched a bit on the fact that we're not saying don't have fun. We're not saying don't hang out with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you really do need to prioritize and figure out where you spend most of your time, right? So now I wanna take you to a bit of a happy place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've worked in a lot of homes. I'm curious. It's a bit of a deep question, but we're gonna skip quickly over to the happy places. I'm curious as to whether you worked at those homes and worked as a teacher and worked with young people a lot, and I've known you for years now. I think it's probably over a decade.
Yeah.
And for as long as I've known you, that's always been the spaces where you found yourself. They keep following me.
I cannot escape it.
They just keep following me, Given.
I cannot escape it. I kid you not.
Yeah.
Beloved people that are listening. Last year, around this time, it had been plus minus a month since my mom passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And Given, who is a brother and friend to me, was with me the week that my mom passed away. He helped me move from, you know, from one space to another, sorting out my mother's paperwork for the cremation and just going to the morgue, going to see her body. A lot of stuff that I had to do on my own. And that's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
But that week, I remember we came to the studios and I was sharing something about my work that I was doing at the time with Kids Life Coaching.
Yes.
With the Secret Parent Foundation and the Kids Life Coach Academy. And I mean, it's a year later and here I am, and I'm with you because I'm working with kids with again. Kids.
Exactly, exactly. So my question was actually getting at the fact that is this something that you intentionally chose to do, firstly, or is it something that you just found yourself, you know, a space you found yourself infiltrating?
The same answer that I gave you last year.
Yeah.
I just find it coming to me.
Oh, I see. I see.
And I guess in some way I'm drawn to it because at church, when they asked us to, you know, to help and be a part of assisting in different departments, I chose the social responsibility department. Lo and behold, children. It's an orphanage. And another home that also works with youth.
Yeah.
So just wherever I go, if I want to help there or if I want to serve there, children are there.
I understand what you mean, yeah. You know, I want to say, remember we were having the conversation on our drive back that when you find yourself in a particular space, it might mean that that's where God wants you to be. I want to say that, but I kind of know better. But I will not deny that God is using you in that space. That we cannot deny. Because that's the beauty. The thing I love about God is I think sometimes we think that God will only use you when you are in the exact place he wants you to be in the at the exact moment. And that's not the case, right? God is able to use you even when you are in a space that's inconvenient for him. He's able to work through you. As long as you work on that relationship between you and him, he will be able to flow through you. So I understand completely that this is a place where you're finding yourself. It's like a soldier, you know, maybe going on a mission to somewhere and something happens along the way and they end up in a different location. You just follow protocol. As a soldier, right? You do what they taught you in the army, and you survive, you come back home, and you whatever part of the mission you can accomplish where you're at, accomplish it there. So I must say that I commend you for that, and how with how much grace you've received it. I can imagine that you can tell us terrible stories and experiences, because I mean it's noble working with kids, but kids can be a lot.
It ain't easy.
Yeah. Would you be able to attest to that?
Yes, it is not easy.
Yeah.
It is not easy.
But I want you to tell me a bit about some of your happy moments in working in that space. What are some of your beautiful memories that you, like, I'm glad that I did this, and I'm glad that I'm doing this because of these moments.
With the orphanage, when it was a baby home, I think my favorite part was the children, the babies getting forever homes.
Oh.
And then seeing them grow. So there's one family that I'm still in touch with, and they adopted a little girl from the home, and I still see mostly the mom, but I still see them, or we're friends on Facebook, so I see how much she has grown, you know? So that is so satisfying to see that a child got, not that they chose to be here and
exactly.
But even though life offered them that, someone came along and decided, I will love you, I will be your parent,
yes.
I will take care of you, and I will offer you a better life to the best of my to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
So that's with the orphanage.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Hey? Not a lot of people get to say that.
Yeah.
That I know a child who was in the circumstance that they were an orphan. And I actually saw them be adopted into a home. Oh my goodness, that gives me goosebumps.
Great.
Oh my goodness. I can only imagine with you knowing the child before they were even adopted and now still being able to engage with the mother. Oh my goodness, I'm getting goosebumps.
So that one's also, that's been one of my favorite highlights.
Yeah.
Even with the other children, when I see their parents posting pictures and seeing how much they've grown. And then the other one is with the kids' life coaching.
Yes.
You see the turnaround from when the child starts with the coaching to when they finish.
Oh.
You really do see the change. People tend to take for granted these programs like what I Am Youth is doing. And when I say that, I mean, it often just seems like it's something that the kids can just do after school.
Exactly.
Keeps them busy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we're planting seeds. We are sowing. And even if we don't see the fruit,
especially immediately,
at some point, what we are doing with them is going to bear fruit.
Yes.
At some point. We don't need to be there for it.
Mm.
Ours is to sow now.
Mm. Mm.
It's
literally like what Paul said, that some plant where others have sown, and that's the grace of God. Like they sow where others have toiled. So you turn the soil just like a farmer would, and then the farmer leaves you with the land, and it's your responsibility to start planting on that land. And I think that's what you're alluding to, like the responsibility and not taking for granted how you can plow the land or plow the field and then leave. And then years later, someone else comes and plants the seed. And that seed only grows because of the work that you did many years ago. Right? Ah, it's so beautiful to even think of. So because of the fact that Dineo is going to be working with I Am Youth for a lot, actually. So where we have a lot planned out in future, we were discussing strategies on how we're going to be, you know, we're going to Lanseria again next month on the 24th. I want us to talk a bit about your accolades, right? The stuff that you've done in order to, so you've done your youth development, diploma in youth development. You were just talking now about the program. In life coaching. Yeah, you're talking about that program. Just take us through briefly those stuff that you've done and what exactly do they mean to you?
Yikes.
Was it the word accolades?
Yeah. He's two certificates, man.
No, it actually means a lot, hey. It actually, you need to not take them for granted. Now we need to tell you not to take them for granted.
Okay. Yeah. When I started with youth development, the one thought that I had in my mind was I'd like to help other youth one day, you know, and kids coming up, your high schoolers and whatnot, because high school was so terrible for me.
Mm.
So if I could help them feel empowered to get through high school and have hope.
Yeah.
That was like the basis of it.
I see.
Then with kids life coaching, I had just come out of doing work in preschools, like from admin to being a teacher and all of that.
Okay.
So I realized how tough it was. Being a teacher and coping with little human beings.
Yeah.
So, and helping them cope with their emotions, you know, and it's difficult for all of them throughout the age groups.
Yeah.
So, but you don't think of the solution. Not always, not all of us.
Mm.
But this lady who founded the Kids Life Coach Academy, Zelna Lawrence, when I came across her organization or her Kids Life Coaching Academy, and I saw what it was about, and it tackled all of the things that I was struggling with at the orphanage, in the schools, then I realized, okay, wow, here's something that can help empower children from 5 already.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Mm.
So that's why with the youth development, it was to help empower. With this one, it's also basically to help empower. And mainly the best way to help a child feel empowered is to help them realize that they are accountable for themselves.
I see.
It sounds huge. It sounds big. I know.
It sounds scary.
And it sounds scary.
Yeah.
But they're actually not afraid. Excuse me. They're actually, children are not afraid of accountability.
Yeah, I
they
see.
They aren't. Mm. We've just gotten them so used to not being accountable.
Yeah.
So when they're supposed to be, it's the scary thing. This uncomfortable thing, but there's really nothing that uncomfortable with accountability.
Exactly.
So anything with like a small kid, from making them accountable for making their own beds, typical like small things, small little chores that you do, that's the beginning of teaching accountability. Mm-hmm. This was yours to do.
Mm-hmm.
You need to ensure that you do it. These are the consequences of not doing it. And it just being consistent throughout.
Mm.
So these two, what's the word?
Mm-hmm.
The two courses that I've done.
Okay.
For me, when I just combine them, I realize that the basis of them all, the very foundation of it, is teach children and young people to be responsible for themselves, to be accountable for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay to feel your feelings, but also let's teach you how to process your feelings.
I see.
Let's teach you not to be afraid of feeling anger and fear and sadness. We struggle with it as adults.
True. Very
so
true.
So what are we expecting from the nunus?
Yeah, very, very true.
So these courses, these things, they teach you that. With the youth development, it's a little more structured, of course. I remember I was doing this one module where we did case studies on how to help youth in a rural community start their own little farm, you know, so that they could source their own food from the land.
Okay.
Which means they won't necessarily have to spend and go to the shops and all the time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, it's empowering.
Yes.
It's saying you will be responsible for ensuring that you get food.
Oh,
and
I see.
You are all coming together and working as a community.
Yeah.
And you don't all have to get along like 100% all the time because we're human.
Mm.
But you find a way to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So both courses for me, just they keep reminding me with kids life coaching, we call it interdependence.
Okay.
So teaching children, for instance, like you are an individual on your own. Mm-hmm. You're your own leader. You're the one leader of your life. No one else leads your life.
Yeah.
But it is possible for you to have friends and pick those friends wisely so that they're good friends.
Okay.
And you guys make decisions, good decisions, each one for themselves. But also you can do it collectively.
Okay.
So these are like the basic principles of being a good person, good citizen, and practicing being
a functional, independent individual. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Please don't take those qualifications for granted.
Yeah.
Because honestly speaking, I don't believe we have enough people with those not just those qualifications, but also those skills.
Mm.
Yeah, I call them skills because of how, you know, the workplace values skills.
Mm.
But yours, I would believe, is what they call soft skills.
Mm.
And soft skills are actually in very high demand right now. Very, very high demand right now.
Mm.
So I really do hope you yourself don't take them for granted. You know how much I respect the work you do. I actually am probably like a fanboy. Yeah, I really, really respect the work that you do. And I was just honored to see you in that role today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to just seeing many, many more, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm actually very excited. So that's Dineo Padimanyane. So you're going to see her. We're going to be writing blogs about the stuff that we're doing with her. And obviously, as the team continues to grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely looking forward to that. Do you want to give your socials or any way you can be found?
I don't think
you're not an influencer, né?
I'm not. Do you know what? I'm not. I enjoy like seeing all this great content on there, but my everything, if you're looking for me, it's Mincha. It's always Mincha, which is a Jewish word for a bloodless sacrifice unto the Lord.
Oh,
so M-I-N for naughty.
M-I-N.
Yeah,
C-H-A-H. M-I-N-C-H-A-H.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.